Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Regina, tell me about targeting crime in Springfield. Is the situation out of hand? You're a congressman, of course, you're a federal official, you were the mayor of the city. What needs to be done?
Well, I think one of the things that we can all agree upon is that there has been nothing that has done more to diminish the reputation of urban living than street crime. And I think as you track street crime as it occurs in virtually every major city in America, you've got a pretty good idea of where it happens. What's happened in our lifetime is substantially different to the extent that it involves the use of guns. And I think that that's been transformative. So targeting crime, it's certainly not a miscalculation to suggest that in high poverty areas there tends to be higher street crime. And I think trying to figure out how to go in and get those to cooperate is also equally important. I mean, not to miss the point that street crime across America, in a lot of ways, has been held in check, but the public doesn't believe that. And street crime in the city of Springfield, as Bill Fitchett, the police commissioner, has mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago in a conversation, he said it's down, but that doesn't miss the point that parts of it are more violent. And I think that targeting that with federal initiatives and state initiatives and local initiatives is very important.
So what do those look like, those initiatives?
Well, I think parts of it include certainly the whole notion of poverty. I think in-school programs are very important to it. And I think, not to miss the point, of harassing gang members is also a very important part of it. I think that, you know, we start from the idea that where we can, we want to rehabilitate and we don't want to be punitive, but where we have to, incarceration plays a very important role. And one of the things that's interesting today about the discussions that are taking place across America is how expensive the criminal justice system has become because of incarceration.
Sure.
But not to miss the following point, it also is connected to a decline in street crime. And I think trying to figure out, as James Q. Wilson used to, how you address these issues is very important. I had a chance to talk to Wilson. I questioned Wilson at length. And I was a full subscriber to Wilson's belief in fixing the broken window. I think that broken window syndrome becomes very important. Going in quickly, addressing the issues, and not encouraging those who think that they can join a gang and to harass, and they prey upon poor people. They prey upon people in indigent communities. And I think that those individuals come to feel that as they're being preyed upon, that they have no out. They certainly do have an out, and that's cooperating with local law enforcement authorities.
Now, there is, of course, this business of how levels of government cooperate. I do know that, as I remember it, that the troopers have been called into Springfield. Is that working out?
I think it has worked out, and I recall some years ago calling in the DEA, not to miss the point that there's a huge connection between illicit drug use and the sale of drugs and street crime. And one of the other difficulties that cities in the Pioneer Valley and indeed cities like Pittsfield and the Berkshires have, it's the fact that they're on the turnpike route.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a major access way. So there's no evidence, for example, in the Pioneer Valley that Springfield or Holyoke or Chicopee or Pittsfield and the Berkshires, for that matter, that they have disproportionate use of drugs. But one of the difficulties you have because of the north-south connector to Canada and east-west is the fact that many of those illegal drugs are stored overnight in cities, and that makes them a target for gang rivalries, who oftentimes that's what triggers the assault.
Richie, in New York City, of course, there's a huge debate over a process called stop and frisk, which many people in a minority community have described as racist, which is no question. Your skin is black, and your chances of getting stopped were much greater. What's your take on all of that?
Well, I also think that Bloomberg can point to another pretty glaring statistic, and that is the radical drop in street crime.
Yeah.
And I think trying to find a path forward that is acceptable to people who believe that they're being singled out, and at the same time understanding that there are a lot of people that are alive because of the mayor's aggressive posture.
Particularly black people.
Dating back to Giuliani, for example.
Sure.
I mean, I think in Boston, Tom Menino has been very vigorous. I think that we went through a period of time, and I think part of it was the conservative assault on John Lindsay, when they argued that Lindsay essentially turned policing over to social service advocates. And my sense is that from that time forward, we've had an ongoing conversation about what street crime in America is like. So I think that mayors every day experiment with new initiatives in an effort to combat street crime. And I think that if there's a pocket of street crime where you know the gang members are and who they are, I don't think that color ought to be the barrier to going after them. I think whatever that individual is doing that's wrong, I think that they ought to be the ones that they have to answer for what they're doing. And I don't think that it has anything to do with race, because clearly, if it's in a city that has a majority of the majority, I think that's the way it should be perceived as well.
So you're a congressman, of course, but you were a mayor, as I pointed out. What should, and so you have the creds, what should the Congress be doing for its cities, its urban cities?
Well, I think that one of the things that was very important and very successful was Bill Clinton's COPS program. And the Bush administration dropped it in a manner that, to argue, because it was so successful.
Yeah, it wasn't ours, so we don't like it.
It wasn't ours, so we don't like it. And I thought that at the time, there were cities, for example, like Springfield, who picked up another 75 to 100 cops. The communities in small towns that I represented everywhere, for me, what was striking about it was that they could buy new computer equipment, that the data that was coming from the federal government about the assault on street crime was very effective. Police chiefs who might not have been enamored of the Clinton administration, they supported Clinton's position on it unanimously and enthusiastically. And I think that you saw a decline in street crime because of it. So, you know, there's foot patrols, there's the use of the police car in neighborhoods. People have to understand, as Wilson pointed out, that there's a police presence. And again, I think that dealing with the recalcitrants, dealing with the thugs, is a very important part of being mayor. So I always took a very vigorous position on street crime when I was mayor. I think that you're not going to get people to visit cities. And incidentally, visitors to New York are way up.
Yep.
But you're not going to get people to visit cities if they think they're unsafe. And if they start to avoid the orchestra on Saturday night, and they start to avoid the parking garage, and they start to avoid major arts undertakings, then quickly the economy lags and suffers. So I took a position and have embraced it consistently over the course of a career that law enforcement has to be very vigorous in pursuing those who violate the law willfully. And incidentally, it's the psychological intimidation they use in poor neighborhoods to keep their way.
So just to be clear about this, without getting you or anybody into too much trouble, Bloomberg was for it. His police commissioner was for the stop and frisk and the rest. And then what happens is he gets an opponent who says and runs against it. And you get a federal judge who says this isn't right. You want to make any predictions?
My prediction is that they'll find an accommodation.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
That there will be an accommodation that will be made between the police commissioner and the mayor. And there is no way that any mayor is going to tolerate a rise in street crime, because there is now sufficient evidence to indicate across the country, because of Wilson's broken window syndrome, I think largely, that there are measures and initiatives that you can take to address the issue.
Well, Richie Neal, always great to talk to you. You are the best of the best. You are so articulate. I don't know who we can thank. Probably your parents for you're laying it out and taking strong positions and always saying what you think. So we appreciate it very much and can't wait till the next time.
Thanks very much, Alan.